Blog Talk Radio.
The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Indie Inner Tube, your home for all that is hot and streaming in the world of independent online entertainment. Ooh, how did that? I have a cold.
Did you pause for dramatic effect, or was that your sinuses?
That I have a cold.
Okay, you have a cold, and this past week I almost cut my finger off. So we've been doing really good lately.
Yeah. I have a cold, and we have two big guests today, and that's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
Three big guests, technically. Because we have Susan.
Yes.
And Jillian.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jillian Claire, for those of you who aren't aware, are here from Misbehave. And they're going to talk to us about the end of season one and what is on tap or what they've just – I'm completely incoherent. But did you know that Misbehave just finished shooting season two?
I know. They're just firing episodes right out the bag.
Right. So they just finished shooting season two. And
they're on top of their production.
Yeah. They're really right on top of it. So I'm curious to talk to them. And then after we're done talking to them, we are going to have Devin Mills, creator and star of Dating in the Middle Ages, episode two of which should be up tomorrow. For those of you who haven't seen it, Shab will put the links to both of those in the chat room for you guys. So the topic today is web series as usual and online independent entertainment. We're going to have a little news. We're going to have a couple of reviews and our thoughts on what we've watched this week. Some stuff we found out that's coming up new, and then we will be getting to our guest today. And a big welcome to Joe Wilson from Vampire Mob and Brendan from Suck and Moan, who are in the chat room right now, as well as Web to Watch. And I know we're going to be a little light on some of the people that you've come to look forward to talking to and seeing in the chat room, because a lot of people are in New York at the New York Television Festival. And just prior to this, I found out that the screening for Goodnight's Quest at the New York Television Festival for tonight is sold out.
Cool.
So congratulations to Craig Frank and Brett Register for that, because that is very cool. And oh, how I wish we were in New York right now. But no, we're going to be in New York in 3 weeks.
Yes, roughly. Sooner than you think.
What do you mean roughly?
I don't think it quite hit you how soon we will be in New York.
What? I haven't packed yet or anything.
No, but that's next on the list.
But we have made,
after,
you know,
all the laundry.
We have our accommodations arranged. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Craig and the Werewolf. Craig and the Werewolf. Not Goodnight's Quest. Thank you, Brendan, for correcting me. Cold medication, such as Benadryl, should never be taken
prior to show.
Prior to a podcast.
When intending to operate heavy machinery and or host show, Benadryl
yeah.
is not
so,
awesome.
You know what? If they don't let you drive a car,
you probably shouldn't host a live show. Today could be very interesting.
Yeah. New York? We're going.
We're going.
Yeah.
In like 2.5 weeks.
Don't say 2.5, it's 3. Don't we leave in like the middle of the week?
Yeah, but we still have to, like, that week is the week that we're gone. So at that point, it's that week is null and void in my brain. So once that Monday of that week starts, then we're gone at that point.
Don't scare me.
Those are like, we have 2 last days
you
of
know
prep.
I panic when we travel.
I know, but see, to me, if we start panicking on the Monday, then by the time we leave on, like, the Thursday, you'll be fine.
For those of you who haven't seen Craig and the Werewolf, Sean will put up that link as well, because it's very cool, and you really should watch it. Back to New York again. We have made all of our arrangements.
Yeah.
We are totally going to have dinner at Becco, because I can't go to New York and not have dinner at Becco.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Beth Chamberlain, for that.
And we'll probably get the chance to see Best Chamberlain.
Amongst other things, then, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not thanking just Rebecca. But
Best Chamberlain is a good friend of the YouTube and a personal friend of ours. And we love her to death, but one of the things she introduced us to when we were in New York last time was Becco, which is an outstanding Italian restaurant in New York, and we can't wait to go back.
I'm covered in concrete putty and paint over here. What is my weekend has been interesting.
It's been an interesting week this week. We have not had a chance to get as caught up as we would have liked to have gotten caught up on the shows, because we had boat issues starting last week. And they finally finished our...
boat issues and, you know, physical issues. And, hey, the Allie from the Best Friend is in the room.
Oh, cool. It's her first time in the chat room. Awesome.
Ooh, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
We plan on talking about their show in just a minute. Yeah, we've had boat issues, and they finally got the boat finished and back in the water, but it did require us spending an entire day out there on Monday again. And we spent...
2 days.
All day out there on Thursday, and then again a partial day on Friday, and then we were back out there on Sunday
and Monday.
Yeah, it was
interesting.
It was a lot of work, but it's done now, and the boat's back in the water.
And now you have a cold.
If the weather now I have a cold because we're running around the rain
thing, and I, you know, have half a finger. That's awesome.
And we didn't get a chance to watch a lot of the shows that we wanted to watch this week, which, I mean, we wanted to rewatch a lot of the stuff that we know is in the New York Television Festival, like Soul of the Series, and their screening is also tonight.
Which is interesting because a lot of people think, well, you know, your show's on Wednesday and you have all the time to watch shows. And you have to understand, we take the Wednesday off for the rest of the day, so there's half a day out for watching shows. Thursday, we do everything else that we need to do around the house that we didn't get done.
Exactly.
Unless something like going to the boat takes precedent.
Like last week.
Right. And then, you know, we have Friday and then the weekend, which is a combination. And then Monday. And then Tuesday's here and we're like, crap. And then it's time for
Our real show days to watch are Monday and Tuesday.
Right. Which then this past week we've had all the new primetime shows come back on
because
television.
Because we like to keep it fresh in our minds. And then, yes, we have also been watching a lot of...
Well, yes, I'm sorry for the chat room. I had to hit that because that's from the dog. She just fell over on the keyboard, put her head on the keyboard, and literally hit the letter Z.
Cricket typed in the Z. She's letting you guys know that she is leap.
Oh, and Kevin McCarthy just put up Stacey McQueen's vlog, which if you have not familiarized yourself with Stacey McQueen, you need to.
Go and find Pretty Little Series on YouTube and watch it. We've got a big, big show for you today. Like I said, we've got... Susan Bernhardt and Jillian Clare from Misbehave on in the first half of the show, and in the second half of the show, we are going to have Devin Mills from Dating in the Middle Ages. So it's all about girl power today. It's all about really funny shows and really dramatic shows and just all about everything.
Yeah.
I'm clearly taking too much Benadryl.
I just find it funny that you say that while I see, you know, gangster bitch Barbie as the headliner for that last little web page. It's going to be one of those days.
But we did get to watch a lot of shows this week. And we liked a lot of what we saw. A big thank you to Darren at Digital Chicks TV for giving us a heads up to Bluebell, which is a dramatic series and very, very good. But they're not in contention for our drama of the week because they haven't released a new episode in a bit.
Yes, but what was it? It was English teacher by day and
English teacher during the week, Vegas prostitute on the weekend.
That's it.
Shad will go ahead and put up a link to that, or you can find it on the front page of Digital Chick TV.
I'm having to wrestle my lap away from the dog.
As far as dramas this week, we also watched the premiere of The Bay. Episode 3 of World Full of Nothing, the new episode of Desire and Deceit, the new episode of The Last Stand. Got caught up on Montecito Heights, which I know they've got some stuff coming.
Mm-hmm.
More stuff coming. We watched Paragon, and that's about it for dramas, I think, this week. And then comedies, we watched The Guild, of course, The Best Friend, The Gym, which is shot in Vancouver. We watched English Teachers. Teaching English is the name of it. I thought English Teachers was the name of it.
No, Teaching English.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
Better double check.
I have anything.
As well as, of course.
No, English Teachers, you're right.
Dating in the Middle Ages, which we've been waiting for a while. But before we get to our short little recaps and reviews and our picks, you have some news about some upcoming web series.
I do.
Stuff of the web series world, so why don't you share that with everybody?
Because apparently people said we don't give enough of that, so I'm just going to overload your brain with it.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, apparently there is a web series out there that involves a pirate and a ninja, which I never...
Well, hey.
That's right up our alley. But it's an alternate reality series, sort of. They incorporated an actual treasure hunt with clues from their web series. And in the five boroughs of New York City, they hid a treasure chest with 10,000 gold-colored U.S. dollar coins. So there's 10,000 gold coins in a treasure chest somewhere in the five boroughs of New York, and nobody has found it yet. As of the start of this week, still nobody has found it, and their series ended this past Sunday, which ironically was Talk Like a Pirate Day. And so anybody in New York in the five boroughs area, go check out WeLostOurGold.com is the web series.
You and Ms. Brendan just got excited.
So I know. Join the forums at Unfiction Forums and, you know, add clues, and maybe somebody can find the $10,000 that's just randomly stuck in a treasure chest somewhere in the midst of the five boroughs of New York City. Hard Drive 13 has a new V-Block from their creator out.
Get out. I missed that.
Yep.
And I'm so excited about Hard Drive 13. And for those of you who live in British Columbia like we do, Hard Drive 13 is shot in and around Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. So he's got a new video blog out that you need to check out, discussing it's the nightmare of Hard Drive 13, basically, and what it's coming.
I'm telling you right now, we so need to have a Pacific Northwest web series meetup, because
yeah.
Higlet is up this way.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Hard Drive 13. We've got the gym. We've got tons of stuff up here. Reese the Fury.
Didn't Bell Fury want to come over here for some reason?
They can hightail it over here.
There we go. Apparently, Maria Kanellis, I think that's how you pronounce it, of WWE fame,
mm-hmm.
is going to be starring in a new apocalyptic web series.
Apocalyptic web series.
Called Misty Knight.
Yep. But I just found nothing out about it. No trailers, no nothing.
Nothing is going to be released until the Living Dead Girl event in the Portage Theater in Chicago on October 14th. After that.
Hear that, those of you who are in Chicago?
Anyone who's in Chicago on October 14th, the Living Dead Girl event is where you'll see the pilot episode and trailers and other information, because she hosts that event.
Yeah.
So she's going to be in that. The Morning Bitch is a new talk show. It takes on, it's like a scripted talk show
mm-hmm.
on Blip TV. And I just thought it was funny because it's now we've gotten into the scripted reality series are becoming a boon
mm-hmm.
again. Easy to do.
There is a little bit of news out there, you know, Indie Intertube.
Yeah.
Have got some video stuff upcoming. Mm-hmm. Turning themselves into a hosted web series.
What? No.
But it hasn't happened yet because I hear they have computer issues.
Yeah, maybe.
I hear they are getting and looking into getting a little bit more of a high-powered machine.
Bigger,
to render
better,
their
better.
Yeah.
What else?
That's just what a little birdie told me.
Oh, apparently Infinity, the car company, has decided to step foot into the branded web series of car entertainment. But they're doing Family versus Chef. And if any of you watched Top Chef this past season... That's who's hosting it.
That's not what I'm laughing
at. Why are you laughing? Because the dog is snoring?
Because I can hear the dog snoring. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what she thinks about that. But, yeah, Infinity is apparently being the branded producer, and they're going to feature their new...
Wait until we get this hosted video show, hosted web series up off the ground, and you guys see Cricket.
I just want to put the camera on her now and put it up on Ustream or something.
Right?
That's what the dog does during the whole show. Trying to think. There's apparently now a big push for anyone in Hollywood who's creative in any endeavor to do web series, films, and or pilots
mm-hmm.
right now. The director from Sorority Row is about to do one.
Yeah, I've heard about that. So is McG.
So he's only producing. He's not actually directing it.
But, you know, I disagree with some of the stuff, some of the comments that I've seen around about that, saying that, you know, the Hollywood big boys are going to come in here and start
mm-hmm.
making web series, and the
mm-hmm.
indie creators are going to get pushed to the back.
Yeah.
And blah. And I don't believe that.
Well, no, and the thing
because
is...
Because the web series space, and especially the online space, when we go looking for entertainment online, it's pretty much a level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, the big guys aren't going to be able to come in here and have better, necessarily, production quality than some of the series we already have.
Well, no, and what gets me is most of it is derivative or pilots that fail for TV.
Like, right. I mean, they're not, we're not hearing that they're, I want to see what they're doing first before I say, you know, blanket,
well, no,
they're
going to
come
that.
In here and create stuff that's better. I don't necessarily believe that, and I don't necessarily believe they're going to push indie creators out.
No. I think the only one that is promising, well, there's one, like I said, Stuart Hendler, who did Sorority Row, is going to direct H+, which is a futuristic story about a virus, an internet virus, that wipes out a large portion of the population because apparently 10 years from now, people have had their brains hardwired to the internet 24/7. And then the virus happens, the new social order, blah. Seen it, done that, but the people behind House are getting behind that to produce it. That's the one McG is doing. The other one is about a teenager who's also like a spy operative. It's an espionage series.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can think of is like, wow, Agent Cody Banks much?
Right.
And it's all being done by Warner Brothers. And they're saying, you know, Josh Whedon is the one that started it all. I'm like, okay. But here's what cracks me up. Lionsgate is jumping into the fray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so I'm like, ooh, Lionsgate. I like what they do. But what are they doing? A South Park-esque animated series called Trailer Trash.
Right.
That follows the misadventures of four hillbillies at a trailer park.
Kind of like My Name is Earl?
More like...
Or no, like Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah. Let me see.
South Park?
Where are you going?
Family Guy.
Lionsgate.
Lionsgate's a Canadian company. You know what they're doing. They're basing that off of Trailer Park Boys.
Yes.
But, again, derivative. I mean, if we really want to talk about stuff being derivative, all art is derivative.
Right. But there is one more that just honest to goodness, Mattel has decided to get into branded entertainment. And they're doing a branded web series. It's a reality web series. If you like America's Next Top Model, you probably love this show. Genuine Ken, The Search for the Great American Boyfriend.
I would totally watch that.
It's 8 episodes and 8 guys, and one of them will be named America's Genuine Ken, and any and all guys can apply. No sexual preference withstanding.
Hey, you know what? New episodes of Vets Without Borders will be up today.
Hey. Wouldn't that be funny if the best American boyfriend would be a gay Ken? Just saying, that would be ironic.
You know, I love web series content, and you know that, but I just have to say I have more faith in the talent and the passion of web series creators that are already in the space.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
To be able to lead the space. People like Rob Padgett and Brendan and Joe Wilson, Greg Storm, Bernie Sue, Mark Gardner, Brett Register, Chris McCaleb, Alicia Day, for crying out loud, who is going to come in? And, you know what I mean?
I know, and it's just this push of all the car companies. And Toyota has one, Volvo has one, Hyundai has one. Now Infiniti has one, Lexus has one, Mercedes has one, Jaguar has one. It's just like, okay, so all the car companies are on board. That's great.
I think what we need to be concentrating on is educating people about web series and getting them out there to watch them, because then people could do the same thing that you're doing when you see something. Like when you first saw the trailer for Lost Girl and you said, oh, I really hope they're not ripping off Soulfire Rising.
Right.
Because you were aware that it was out there.
Yeah.
They're not. But
no, it's a completely different take, and I'm glad for that, for the sheer protectiveness of those people in the web space.
But again, I have more faith in the talent and the drive and the passion of the people in the web space than to think that the Hollywood big boys are just going to come in here and automatically do something, you know, that much better and push people out. I just don't believe that they're even capable of doing that.
No, and then
I think the plus to it all would be bringing in advertisers that actually paid attention.
Right.
But according to Yahoo, if you read that latest
that's
crappy article out there, that's going to happen anyway.
Right. it's happening in its own way.
Advertisers are becoming more internet savvy, and it will happen.
They'll either make their own branded, they'll be like, oh, I understand this. Toyota did it last year.
But who do you think they're going to make their branded shows? They're going to go to people who understand the space and are already making content.
Right, and have been making content. But see, the new thing, it's the green thing of Hollywood right now, is apparently to make a web series, like we saw at the LA Web Fest, is to make something that you can see for the web, make it a pilot, make it 40 minutes long, and then shop it. And show that one episode online, and based on its online views and hype and everything else, then it gets picked up for TV. It just happens.
Yeah, and I agree with what Brendan just said. It's all about celebrity power. Everybody knows Angelina and Madonna invented child adoption, and Joss Whedon invented web content. And when I look back at web content, besides the fact that we actually know who the first person to create a web series was, which is Scott Zakarin in The Spot, I look at people who were pioneers in the space and are still doing it, like Chris McCaleb with Sam Has Seven Friends and then Prom Queen. And I know a lot of you have not been able to see season three of Prom Queen, but we have. And I am telling you right now that season three of Prom Queen would rival Pretty Little Liars or Gossip Girl.
It would.
Easily.
On that caliber. But it's with completely unknown talent outside of web. You know what I mean?
But you know what? Here's the thing. If I can watch it online, I don't need to watch it on TV. And the Boxy Box is coming.
So eventually half the shows I'm watching will be canceled out.
You know, we'll be right there.
Because the shows that I want to watch.
So then instead of sitting there like we did last night and watching Detroit 187, which is boring.
Good soundtrack.
Or NCIS LA, which is pedantic at best. And boring and derivative, we could have said, okay, so we're done watching the shows we actually wanted to see. Let's flip over and watch a couple episodes of...
Let's watch everything on YouTube.
You know, or anything. Let's go watch the couple episodes or Cell, and let's go watch Suck and Moan and see what's new on Coldcast, and then we'll flip over to Blip and see if Pretty's debuted yet or has a new trailer. We wouldn't have to be...
And we'll
tethered
find something else
to just
on
what
demand.
The network and cable outlets want us to see.
Right. Because Al Gore invented the web series. Actually, Al Gore invented the internet, remember?
As far as I'm concerned, there are people out there like Bernie Sue, like Chris McCaleb, Scott Zakarin, especially doing comedies now, who really did change this space and who are continuing to change this space.
Right. I'm all for people changing the space, but changing it in a progressive manner, not, ooh, let's have another means.
Zach Galifianakis did not change the space.
Let's have another means of creating a pilot that obviously didn't work on TV. We'll give you a second chance on the web. We have a built-in fan base, after which it'll go on TV.
Did Ileana Douglas and Jesse Bateman help change the space? Yes, but they did it with people like Wilson Cleveland who know this space.
Right.
And who are from this space and who understand the space and work within it more often than not.
Mm-hmm. But I do find I was just going to say, I find it interesting now that some people who are covering new media and new websites that are coming out, branded entertainment and the likes, are poking fun at Hollywood right now and the powers that be in those arenas simply because it's like, okay, just a little behind here. Quit dipping your toes in shit and just jump in.
Yeah.
The pool is warm. Come on in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quit testing. Just come on. Be done with it.
Exactly.
You have more money than God. Just waste some. It's okay.
It's my bitch about other podcasts, and we really need to get to our picture this week, but it's my bitch about other podcasts that I've seen pop up. The more podcasts and shows and radio shows and television shows and web shows like us, like The Web Files, like all of that, that are, I don't know, mine's fine. Talking about web series and the space, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all need to be talking about it. We all need to be passionate about it. It's the only way we're going to get fans and your average viewer to watch the stuff.
Right. And if anybody just has...
For the love of God, please watch the content you're talking about.
Yeah.
It is great that you have a blog about web series. It's great that you have a website about web series or a show. But please, please, please watch the content you're talking about. Don't just throw up press releases. Don't just talk about a show using bullet points that you read in another article. Please watch the stuff you're talking about. Please know who these people are and be aware of the space and the content. And that's our lesson for today, class.
Is anyone else talking in the chat room?
Move on. No, they've all left now.
Well, it says the servers have experienced an error that prevents you from showing that page. Don't worry.
Okay, not me. We're fine. Okay, and people are talking about.
Okay. Okay. So it's just me.
Okay. Moving on. Like I said, we watched a lot of stuff this week. We watched The Bay, which is an online soap opera that debuted end of last week. And it has had a lot of hype because it's got a lot of soap stars in the cast. There's mm-hmm. a lot of they raised a lot of money. They're going to shoot their whole first season. And they've got an international television distribution deal right now. So we watched the first episode, and I'm happy to say that they've already acknowledged the one big problem that I saw. And that's the sound. Their sound took me right out of that first episode. And it was a no-go on Vimeo.
Oh, my bad. I didn't know.
But, yeah, The Bay, the sound is the only problem that I had with it. I think it is extremely promising. I think it is another one of those soap operas that's going to do very well online and proves the theory that we've always believed that soap operas can easily transition from television to the web as they did from radio to television. And speaking of soap operas that transition well, Desire and Deceit has fixed their sound problem.
Yes, they have.
So kudos to Dick DeCoit and Frank Bonner and everybody behind the scenes at Desire and Deceit. I don't know if they listened to our show or not. But
no, for listening to anybody who said anything about sound.
Yeah, but thank you for fixing your sound because Desire and Deceit has become exactly what I want to see in an online soap. Same as Misbehave. I think they're both fantastic examples. The Last Stand, you guys are losing me. They're losing me. How about you? Chad?
Last Stand, what?
Yeah, that tells it all. That says it all.
That last
Do you know
episode?
That The Last Stand's end credit sequence is a minute 30 seconds long? You got that right, people. It is 90 seconds long.
That's a lot.
Out of a 5-minute runtime of your total episode, that is too much.
Now here's the thing. You can have a 90-second credit run in a 5-minute episode run and the rest of it be filled with content. I'm okay with that. But have it be content that makes sense and follows a linear path of thought. And don't cut it off in the middle of your exposition.
Please do some table reads with your actors. You've got such a good premise and such outstanding locations to shoot in. And you fixed your initial sound problem for the most part. You've got to get your actors more into it, really.
Do you have any sound problem with The Best Friend? Have we found any sound issues?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. They almost won Comedy of the Week this week, 2 weeks in a row. They didn't.
Almost.
But almost. They get the honorable mention this week. I think The Best Friend is hilarious because they had one of the best lines. But we'll get to the comedy for that. Montecito Heights looks really good. Can you put the link up for that?
Yes.
It's another web series on YouTube. Paragon. Let's talk about Paragon, shall we? No.
No?
No, it's not working for me. I don't know why. Maybe I need to rewatch it. But I've watched a lot of the episodes, and what happens with me and Paragon is that inevitably, a couple minutes into it, I'm done and I have to turn it off. Or I completely tune out with my brain. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I am noticing that the actors are noticing the camera, which to me is a big fat no-no. Or if it's, I just don't know what it is. But Paragon is not sucking me in, and they're in their second season, and that's not good.
I think it's because partially, and maybe this is just...
The sound is also bad on that show.
That and some of the weird camera watches, but watching shows like 48 Hours,
yeah,
and seeing that format and then seeing a variation of that format maybe that just kind of makes you go, oh, you know, the episode of 48 Hours I watched earlier was actually more in tune. This is what?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I can't watch Detroit 187. I'd rather just watch 48 Hours and just knock out the middleman.
I've got the real murders right mm-hmm. here. I don't need to watch scripted murder. Who would dare?
So, and World Full of Nothing was really good this week too.
Yeah. A little
bit of a setup for the next few episodes. It was a filler episode.
But it was definitely a filler episode that got you into the headspace of what that one expert was explaining in going after the individuals in the show who are
uploading the suicide videos.
Yeah, they're uploading the suicide videos. It's like they're trying to attack it with the same vigor and response that they would with internet predators. And then they show you how they go about that, which to me...
Because, you know, that whole thing was illustrating how they would go after a pedophile.
Right, which is perfect to go after that element. Not, you know, it's interesting the way that they have these news conferences and media
uh-huh.
conferences in their show and then show what actually happens with it and how that would never hold water with
right.
what the actual situation is.
Exactly. So I think it was an episode of World Full of Nothing, which I love the show. It's very dark. It's not for everybody, but I love it. That clearly is setting up the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So given all that we've seen, and we did watch a couple of other dramas that they weren't even good enough to discuss, so I'm not going to name them, but there were about six others that we watched because people either sent us links or they were up on YouTube or we were asked to review them, and the reviews will still go up on the website because we've got a ton of reviews to post. But I'm not going to talk about them on the show because I don't really feel that I want to put out anybody's flame of passion for their show.
Right.
So I'm not going to call out and tear down any show. If I don't have something positive to say about it and I didn't really, really like it, I'm not going to talk about it at all. If you're curious whether or not that's one of your shows, please feel free to email us at static@indieinnertube.tv and we'll let you know what our thoughts were. Some of these shows weren't even because people asked us to watch them. It was because we found them. And they just weren't really good enough to talk about. Our drama of the week this week. Can I get a drum roll? Is Desire and Deceit.
It doesn't work because I've only got one hand.
Desire and Deceit. They fixed their sound. Their story is tight. Their acting is good. Desire and Deceit is our drama of the week. Comedy. Honorable mention goes to The Best Friend because of the line, universal grandma fro.
She was so sweet and old and had universal grandma fro.
Universal grandma fro.
I just love that. And why was she dressed like rainbow bright?
I don't know. Allie's in the chat room. You should ask her.
I watched her come running in. I was like, she's dressed like Rainbow Bright. What is this girl doing on her daytime? And why did she happen to stop by a fabric store to just grandma fro?
Universal grandma fro.
Was it purple?
She has to buy things because people are nice and or old or both.
Or both. And in this case, both.
It was both and with universal grandma fro.
Yes.
And, of course, then there's the gym. And that is The Gym, J-I-M, which is produced in Vancouver. And if you haven't seen it, I don't know how many episodes they have. They've got two on Cold Cast. And I know that they have a bunch up on their website. I'm not sure. Let me check. Because, you know, we're completely interactive here at Indiana, too.
Dun-da-da.
So I can check and see how many episodes they actually have up on their site. But if you have not seen The Gym, you really need to. Ah, but they may not have any more up. That may actually be it. No, they finished season one so far. Can you just do the checking?
Yeah.
But if you have not seen The Gym, and the website is thegym.tv, you really need to. The show is hilarious. Hilarious. Episode 2 had one of the funniest things I have ever seen when she was trying to explain to him what a rabbit was. And we're not talking out of a hat variety. Seriously, this show is one of the reasons I want to get together with all the web series creators out here just because I want to meet these guys because that show is funny.
And they have bobbleheads.
They do?
As merch, yes. It's from miniu.ca. They specialize in making personalized bobbleheads for anybody. Don't ask me why I know that.
But the show is on Coldcast. I'm not sure. I know they're on Lifeforce TV, which is Canada's version of Coldcast. And if you're in Canada, you can get that at lifeforcetv.com. And I know they're on there. And I believe they have 8 episodes up. I've only seen 2, but because they already have 8 out, we cannot choose them as Comedy of the Week this week. But they are coming highly recommended. The Guild has Festival of the Sea, episode 10, up this week. I think this might be one of the Guild's best seasons. It is really good. Vorik's little play with Babu's mom backfired. You really have to see it to believe it. Felicia Day's playing the ukulele. Did you catch that? Ukulele for Felicia Day.
You know who else has played the ukulele? Jane Lynch.
I wonder if Jillian Clare can play the ukulele. We should ask
Happy.
Her. They're on the line. And we
oh,
will.
Are they?
Yeah, we're going to be getting to them in just a second. What else did we watch comedy-wise? Dating in the Middle Ages, and our guest, Devin Mills, will be here in the second half of the show around 5 o'clock, which was hilarious. And English Teachers, which was cute and clever and is our comedy of the week. Shad will put up the link to that, and that's English Teachers is our comedy of the week. It is about English teachers or people that are going over to teach English in Japan.
Which is interesting considering we actually know somebody who did that.
Yes. So I actually know someone who did it in Korea too. So that's our comedy of the week, English Teachers, with an honorable mention to the best friend and the universal grandma friend. And now, without further ado, I really want to put Susan over the coals for misbehave. I mean, is that last episode that we saw, is that the finale?
It.
That can't be the finale. That can't be it. But let's get them on here.
I'm assuming that would be a perfect way to...
Well, I don't want that to be the end. Speaking of the devil, Misbehave TV, do we have you guys on the line?
Hi.
Yeah, we're here. How are you?
We are doing good. How are you both doing? Season 2 is all done.
Season 2 is in the can. Yeah, we're excited. We were looking at a bunch of the dailies last night. We're really pumped to get it going and get it edited.
I bet. But is season 1 over? Please tell me that episode wasn't the finale.
Yeah, that was the finale. 12th episode was the finale.
No, I refuse to accept that.
That's the end.
I cannot accept that's where it ends.
What's that?
That is a very cruel, cruel place.
See, now you just have to
end that episode.
I know. Well, but it makes you want to come back, right?
Well, no, it totally makes me want to come back. I can't believe, because the last, now I'm getting this right, the last episode I watched, we got the half a body of Dad, right, downstairs?
Yes. Well, you know, there's a purpose for only seeing part of Dad.
I'm completely.
Yeah, he has to remain faceless.
I am perfectly okay with Dad not being seen. And then the brother is in the shower upstairs. Who ends up like that? I don't even like that girl.
I know, but that's okay because you always have to have a character you don't like.
That's true. You had to leave me one to hate because you redeemed the boyfriend, so you had to leave me somebody to dislike, and thank you for that.
Yeah, and aren't you happy that we redeemed Riley?
I am very happy that you redeemed Riley because I honestly thought that it was going to get to the end of the season and you weren't going to do that, and I really was not liking him at all.
I know. But that was one of the best kept secrets that was going to happen, and I'm so happy with the way episode 12 turned out.
Episode 12 was really, really good, and I'm glad you didn't redeem her because she plays a dislikable character so well.
She does, and the funny thing is that I don't know if we told you guys this the last time we were on. She is bipolar opposite of that character. She is over-the-top Disney happy girl.
I think that's hilarious. Call us out, but it is
hilarious.
It is.
Very hilarious. But our season two story is incredible. I mean,
is it?
Oh, my gosh. I've told people when we've been talking already, and Jillian can attest to this, I kind of feel like it's a Desperate Housewives vibe to it. It's got so much drama, so much suspense, intrigue, and a host of quirky characters.
So we're going from a Gossip Girl's Pretty Little Liars vibe to a Desperate Housewives vibe.
A little bit, only because we had, you'll see. When you'll know exactly why everything happens within the first episode. You're gonna see a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the whole season two is only 10 episodes, but they're a little bit longer. They're going to edit out to be about 8 minutes long each, maybe a little bit more, 8 or 9. And then our 10th episode is a double episode, so it's basically about 12 or 13 minutes.
Cool. And are
yeah.
you – so you – you know, okay, I have a couple of questions about where this is headed. So are you guys going to be picking up – and Dan, go ahead and tell me that's a spoiler. I'm not telling you if you want. Is season two going to pick up where season one left off, or are we going to pick up a bit of time later, or how it?
It won't pick up exactly, but it will go back and tell you what happened.
Well, I hope so.
I love actually the beginning of season one. I love, and I mean, you did see that obviously. You know, Romeo and Juliet will happen, so you'll. That's one spoiler alert that I shared, but you're not going to see much. But Romeo and Juliet did happen for Tori.
Well, did it happen in a like an allegorical way, or did they actually put the play on?
The play's put on. You'll see them at the beginning of second season. You'll see the end of the play, basically, the closing of the play.
Okay.
So that's.
I have to tell you, and I don't know if you intended for this to happen or whether you're going to expand on it, but I'm getting a little bit of creepy vibe going on between Jillian's character and Darren's character.
That was purposely done. But
was it? Because this was creepy all season.
Yeah, I have to tell you, though, that Darren's not in second season. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, unfortunately, he had scheduling conflicts because he was up in Canada filming Blue Mountain State. But
yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, but we have, if you know or if you follow Days of Our Lives, we have Eric Martzoff in our cast for second season.
Get out, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty awesome. You guys are already, like, you know, top of the heap as far as online soap operas, in my opinion, so...
We have Eric Martzoff joining us now, too. Plus, honestly, in, I don't know, is it 2 or 3 episodes, Jillian? We have 25 principals.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we have.
That's a big cast. How are you going to manage writing, or how did you manage writing for such a large cast and make everybody still relevant?
Basically, the second season and 2/3 of the second season takes place in one night. It's Jillian or Tori's 17th birthday party.
Okay.
So a lot of drama. I don't know if you – I did put little summaries on IMDb already without giving away anything, but little episode summaries. So we have we have a – overstressed event planner that ends up passed out drunk in the hammock.
That's not fair that you have seen it and you get to crack up about it and we can't.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. I can't even take it. Yeah, he is actually a real life publicist, and you guys know that I do that also. That's one of my gigs.
Yep.
I do guitar. And he's been a close friend of ours and colleague for a long time, and he had a character that he would always you know, pretend like he was, and so I wrote him into the show.
In fact, if you go to YouTube and you type in Jorge Pish, as in P-I-S-H, funeral, you'll see a video that we recorded in, like, 2008 when we came home and we found that our fish was dead. And actually, it's me, the guy who plays Dylan in Misbehave, Jorge, who comes on in second season, and the guy who plays Riley in Misbehave, Marco. And it's us, like, so young, and we played it in our Misbehave characters because it's before we actually started filming, before we decided to do it on our own. And so we were just for filming one day, and we're like, oh, hey, let's just make this silly video. It's really funny.
It is.
And
it
you'll
is.
Get a glimpse of Jorge and how crazy he is.
Yeah, he's crazy. So we have him. We have you guys ever heard of McCracken Live?
It sounds familiar.
Caroline McCracken, basically, she, how do you explain it, Jillian? She has a talk show. Well, she turns out she was on, she is played by a gentleman, and it's a character that he brought up. So he's got a web show, and it's coming to Cold Pass TV also, and we actually know him very well. So he's actually guest starring in our season finale. And
cool.
Another absolutely hilarious character that's going to come in. But I have guest stars from, gosh, ABC Family's 10 Things I Hate About You. Kyle Kaplan joined our cast. We have Madison Beatty joined our cast, and she played she was in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and the lead in The Pregnancy Pact on Lifetime. What else do we have, Jillian? We just Michael Bolton, not the singer Michael Bolton, but Michael Bolton stars right now in the feature film Flipped that's in theaters.
Yeah.
He joined our cast also. So we have, and then Eric, of course, and Eric is playing, and I think I told you guys this also, that I had written a network pilot, which is like the mothership to Misbehave.
Yeah, about the parent.
Right. And he's in that also. So we actually crossed him over into Misbehave. And so he's playing his character from Rain, and his character is Marcus, a movie star client of the Queen that knows Tori also. So I was able to find a way to spin him into the story in a couple episodes.
So how do you guys feel about all of the publicity and all of the really good reviews and all of the hits and stuff that you've had for Misbehave for the first season? Are you surprised at it at all, about how much publicity and how much positive feedback you've gotten?
Jillian, I'll let you take it first because
I don't know if surprised is the word, because when we were filming it, we all knew that we were part of something that was going to be really good. I think we're just really happy about the feedback. Not as much like, I don't know, I don't want to sound pretentious about being not surprised, but like,
I think that what she's probably getting at too, again, we sat on this, and I think I shared this before too, for 2 years before we actually, you know, before everybody else saw it. So we've known for a long time that we had something really great. We just wanted to share it with everybody. And, you know, and I've had all that time to start building the hype. And, again, you know, this is what I do. But we've had some really great.
And you've done an outstanding job with it. I have to say the marketing campaign around Misbehave has been and is amazing. You've done a very good job at raising awareness with your Facebook page and the Twitter and everything else and your street teams. I think you've done an outstanding job, and it can certainly be emulated by not only other web subs, but especially web subs, but other shows as well.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. It's, you know, as you all know, I mean, it's a huge ongoing effort to do that. And, you know, fortunately, my PR business, you know, I kind of backed off representing actors as much and really have focused a lot on the show. I mean, Eric is actually one of my clients, so it makes it easy for me to get him to be on the show. But, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, I do know the PR business pretty well within entertainment, and I just do everything that I can to try to constantly spin ways to, you know, bring awareness. And right now I've got all these ideas in my mind about, you know, college campuses and finding a way to reach out to them a little bit more with our show. So I'm spinning ideas in my head about college campuses.
I think it would be a really good thing to get college campuses more aware of the show. I really do.
So too. I think so too. And again, because so many people in dorms, you know, they don't necessarily even have television sets. They rely completely on their computer to catch up on,
exactly,
you know, everything and online shows. So for them to have, you know, some other choices out there and be able to be part of it would be great. Now, I have to give big credit to, you know, there's a blogging site called Just Jared, and Just Jared Jr. follows the teen stars, and they've always been a huge supporter of Jillian and of our show, and they've been, you know, fabulous as far as helping to promote it, and you know, they've been,
and you've gotten,
you know,
publicity from We Love Soaps and Daytime Confidential, and a lot of soap fans have followed Jillian.
Yeah, oh, they have, and Darren, and we actually have a nice spread coming out in Soap Opera Digest the end of this month with Jillian, Eric, and Patrika all featured. So it's in the print edition. We're really excited for that. It's coming out.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah,
really,
yeah. You know, my soap opera connections paid off.
So what do you both, and I want to ask both of you about this, both you, Susan, and Jillian, what do you guys think of all of the soap opera web series that are being made right now, from Misbehave and Venice right on through to The Bay, which is the newest one, and Tristan Rogers has another one of his own that's upcoming, and Corbin Burnson has one coming, and there's Anacostia and Empire. What do you think of all of these shows? Do you think this is the way that soap operas are going to survive?
Obviously they're not going to survive in the way that we've all grown up in new soap operas, because,
right,
you know, we've all known for the past 5 years that soap operas will be phased out probably by,
exactly,
you know, within the next 2-3 years, they're all going to be phased out, unfortunately. It's just, you know, there's just too many programming choices, and with the internet flux. So I think it's a great way, though, for, you know, especially soap opera fans that, you know, are diehard fans of the stars,
mm-hmm,
for them to get that contact. I mean, for them to be able to still, you know, watch their favorite actors. I mean, I know The Bay, they have a huge, huge roster of four. In fact, even Matt Ashford, Jillian's dad from Days of Our Lives, is on The Bay, and he's on the production team now, too. So,
right, and Exploit, you know, has put together Desire and Defeat. You've got a lot of these, especially Days actors. There seems to be a ton of you guys out there doing web series right now.
Well, I think the thing is with soap opera stars, and this is, I've found this, you know, the whole process of going through from casting to working with actors to being a part of it, I have found that the actors that have worked probably the most are the ones that you would think that would be less likely to want to be involved, but they're the most likely to want to be involved. And the,
mm-hmm,
reason is that they know that anything that they give back, you know, even if they donate their time and they're not getting paid, work begets work. And to keep their name out there is something that is so important. And for example, Eric. I mean, Eric works 4 or 5 days a week on Days, but he's,
yeah,
been a supporter of Misbehave from the beginning and wanted to be part of it. And he was like, I can't believe you got Misbehave on IMDb. And I said, Eric, it took me a year. I did it. So. And he was so excited.
Hopefully,
so, you know,
IMDb is starting to open up a little bit, because I am seeing more and more web series now popping up.
Yeah,
you
and
guys,
it's great.
First.
You
now
know, they have
couple.
It as a TV series. So, hey, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take it listed that way. You go ahead and, you know, give Jillian 22 episodes now on a TV series. It's great.
That's outstanding for Jillian's IMDb page. But, I mean, it's because people like you, Susan, are getting out there and you're pushing, and you've got Misbehave's production values are as high as they are, and you insisted upon making sure that you did your table reads, that the show was ready, that it was written, that your characters were fleshed out. Jillian knows what she's doing. Her acting is outstanding. Everybody is at the same level acting-wise in the show. I think that makes a big difference. And you create it as a web series. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I think creating it as a web series made a big difference, too. You didn't just write something that you then cut up and threw on the web.
No, no. And, you know, it's really funny because, you know, we're obviously, we just wrapped second season, and third season is like, Jillian and I are thinking, okay, somebody's got to help pay for this third season. That's all we can say. As much as we'd love to continue it, you know, our pocketbooks, we're thinking we need to get some mm-hmm. financing from somebody. And I think second season, because of the story, is just so much better that I think it'll be easier to get something. We have some more ideas and some things flooding in. But, you know, I wasn't even going to think about third season. When we were done with second season, I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm working on a movie. That's it. I'm writing a movie, and I'm not thinking about third season.
Not thinking about third season. How about?
I know.
No, go ahead. That was
no. Now I'm thinking about third season. So everybody keeps plugging all these. I have all these actors that are like, what about this? What about that? But I will tell you this, and this isn't going to give you any information except for the fact that I had third season ready to go 10 days before production. Exactly. I mean, second season ready to go 10 days before production because of some logistical changes, which I won't go mm-hmm. into, but you'll find out. I had to rewrite 2/3 of it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it's 80 pages in the 10 episodes, 80 or 85 pages.
Oh,
see,
now I don't touch too much about what happened, but whatever you just said, the lines are lighting up. So in the 5 or 10 minutes that we have left with you guys, do you want to take a couple of calls?
Yeah, it might be some of my series regulars. I told them to call in and say hi, too.
Oh, even better. So here we go. Area code 323, you're on Indie Inner Tube with Misbehave TV. Who's this?
Hi, Susan. Hi, Jillian.
I think this is James Rustin, who's coming in as Jillian's cousin in second season, Alex.
That would be I.
Oh.
Hi.
Hello. How are you guys?
So, Alex, tell them all about your character joining second season.
Yes, tell us all about everything and drop as many spoilers as you can.
No.
Without being killed. No, I'm pretty much, my character, the best way I can describe him is the offspring of Oprah and Superman. So I'm not going to give anything away.
Oh, God, but, I should have been drinking when he said that.
No, it's Alex. Alex is there to do stuff. I really don't know how much I can give away.
Alex is... is Tori's cousin that is kind of somebody that she leans on also. So his dad and her mom are brother and sister. So he kind of knows what that whole Archer thing is of, you know, not taking care of your children. He really can relate to her. And he's kind of like that other big brother, you know, but she's actually really, really close to him. And he's like her savior, her protector.
Well, she needs somebody to lean on. That girl is going to be in trouble soon.
Well, yeah, yeah. And second season really, really needs Alex second season. He definitely is her Superman. Right, Alex?
I'm everyone's Superman in real life and on the show, I like to think.
That's kind of true.
I think Jillian, you've done a really good job of playing Tori's downward spiral in a very subtle way, because she seems to have her stuff together most of the time, but not really.
I think that's every teenager, so that was kind of easy to play. But so yeah, Tori was really fun second season. She's more fun second season. I mean, first season. Wait, did I just word that right?
Wait, what are you trying to say?
She was fun to play first season, but second season was even better to play. Yeah, it's a lot more intense.
Well, okay, I'm going to try.
Second season is very intense.
I'm going to try to get something out of them now. Watch. Is she more of a bad girl in season two?
Nope.
That is not any kind
of
an answer.
That was not really a good way to garner spoilers.
Jillian is as tight-lipped as Susan is. Have you noticed this?
Well, she is her mother, so...
Just too good. I can't Yeah, like I said, just think of anything that could possibly go bad at a birthday party and a teen birthday party, and that might be what happens.
Might be. Could possibly be.
Might be. But, you know, we do have an Michael Bolton, if you look him up on IMDb also, that was in Flip joining as – he's actually a client of the Queen also. He's an Aussie actor. And he's joining, and he's going to have a little bit of a crush on Tori, we think.
Oh. Pretty interesting going on in season two. I'm looking forward to this. So I'm interested in all this intrigue and romance and
yeah.
all this stuff that you have for us in season two, but how long are you going to make us wait?
We're pushing for mid-December. It's going to be a while,
wow.
unfortunately. I know. I'd love to do it sooner, but
that's pretty quick, you know.
What's that?
That's pretty quick, really.
Yeah, we just wrapped 3 weeks ago, and I was looking at a lot of the dailies last night, and it's so fun to watch all that stuff. It's just amazing. But it's we just put a call for indie artists, so we're just actually securing all of our music right now. Jillian and I have been listening to songs for the past 48 hours. We had about 75 submissions of songs. So we're very, very excited, and we have some amazing music again. And fortunately, we have a great connection with Daisy Rock, who's connected with Alfred Publishing, and Daisy Rock sent out a massive email to all of their artists. So we had that, and then I have a good friend that's an A&R manager, so we got some music from her, too. So we're very excited. Got great music coming in again.
It sounds like you have great music, great actors, and a story that everybody is excited about, and that makes the rest of us excited.
Yeah. I have to tell you that some of the performances that we have coming out of season two are nothing short of incredible as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there's so much drama that goes on, and it's really, really amazing. I was very, very proud of my entire cast of everything that happens.
That is a glowing recommendation to anybody who hasn't seen season one and wants to get excited about season two. Are you going to stick with Cold Cast for season two?
Oh, yeah, we'll have it there. I mean, we're obviously always looking for other opportunities. I've got some people that are... Pardon me?
You're probably going to have it up everywhere, I would assume, knowing you.
You know, I'd like to do something like that. I mean, I've taken a couple meetings really soon with some new media agents, with some agencies. So I just, you know, obviously I'd love to see it, make it, you know, all over the place. So we'll just see where things go. And I've actually been working on fine-tuning Rain because I have my queen that I'm going to send it over to. So that's my next effort right now, is finding a way to make Rain happen too.
Right.
And
I would like to.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I've known who I want for it for a long time. I just have to talk her into getting her attached, so then I can find somebody to help me show run it and get it to some networks.
Any hints?
She might come from the soap world.
She's from the soap world or no?
Might come from the soap world, yes.
That doesn't really help, Susan.
No.
That's all I can. Might come from the soap world.
the reason why in
episode 12 that you didn't see the face of the dad was to not compromise my pilot.
Oh, you're sneaky. You're sneaky, Susan.
Thank you. You're
just as bad, Jillian.
What did I do wrong?
She's the offspring of sneakiness.
With the maybes and the possibly and the, she's more fun in the second season.
Second season is, like I said, I'm so excited for it. I mean, I'm thankful that we have all the quirky characters because we're going to need it because of all the drama. That we have a lot of comic relief. Thank God.
Well, I can't thank you enough for being on our show again. And you know the door is open anytime that any of you want to come on. In fact, I will put it to you right now. If you want to do a special event like we did with Cell and have your entire cast on the week or a couple of days before season two premieres, we will make that happen.
Let's do it. Let's get on it because we're going to – my idea is December 16th. So mark that down and we'll just plan on that week and I'll get – I have 7 series regulars again and we'll get them all on together.
You will make it happen. And,
awesome. Shoot,
maybe we'll set up a video feed on Ustream at the same time. We will make it happen. So
awesome. Great.
What do you want to tell everybody in the meantime as to what they have?
We want to tell everybody – here, Jillian, you first.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I guess just watch the first season in preparation for second season. And I don't know.
Keep looking for –
hang on to your
hat. Hang on to your hats for second season because we will take you places that you wouldn't even believe what's going to happen. But misbehave.tv, watch all the first season. Keep watching. Tell your friends. Tell your cousins. Tell your step cousins that live in India. I don't care. We're global.
Go to the store and make all of the – go to the store and put all of the laptops at Best Buy on that show.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a – hey, I hadn't thought about that. I wouldn't do it. Oh, and one more thing I want to add for second season. We are opening a store, so we're going to have Misbehave. We have a Misbehave Get Tori's Look, 2 different makeup kits sponsored by Formay Cosmetics. And that photo shoot has been done, and the makeup kits are being put together. And then we're going to have Get Tori's Jewelry, too. And we have a jewelry store opening of all of her jewelry from second season.
Well, make sure you let us know. We'll throw it up on the website so everybody knows how to find it.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys, for coming in. Thank you. And Jillian, Susan, good luck for next season.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Bye.
That was awesome. And we have the cousin who is the offspring of Oprah and
Superman,
which is the best description of a character I've ever seen.
Quintessential.
And you know who's on the line now, Devin, though?
Well, what?
Such a fan of her.
Get out.
I know, right?
Shut the door.
New episode of her show coming up tomorrow. Shall we just get her right on?
Why not?
Jump that right was on. Susan Bernhardt and Jillian Clare from Misbehave TV with Jeff, who is coming on as Tori's cousin in season 2. And he describes his character as
the love child of
Oprah and
Superman.
There you go. Love that. We're never going to forget that. And now, the creator and star of Dating in the Middle Ages, the show that we've been talking about so much,
mm-hmm.
Devin Mills. Devin, are you with us?
Oh, no.
Hello? Okay, she's got to be there. Hello?
Maybe she's on the other line.
Maybe. Okay, we'll go back to Devin in just a second. Shad, can you talk a little bit about the first episode of Dating in the Middle Ages?
It depends. Which part would you like me to discuss?
Just talk about the whole thing. Talk about her whole getting her blind date. Just talk about your – just do it.
What my take on Dating in the Middle Ages. Dating in the Middle Ages is actually quite amusing simply because it shouldn't be for my demographic. She is newly divorced, if I'm not mistaken, and is going on blind dates to try and find her perfect Prince Charming. And obviously a few generations above my own, so I guess maybe. And it's hilarious. Just the way that all of the dates go about and her internal monologues and the gentleman opposite her and where they fit in her scheme of the perfect and not so perfect guys. It reminds me a little bit of Kissing Jessica Stein when she's going through all the blind dates.
Really?
That whole series. Just a little, the format, but I love it's so much better.
It reminds me a lot of Ally McBeal, but I said that before.
Yeah. But it's so much better and funnier and yeah.
Shall we go back to the phone and see if Devin's there?
See if she's there.
Devin,
I'm here.
Yay!
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
Oh, good. Sorry, I'm new at all this fun, wonderful stuff. So just trying to figure it out. How are you guys doing?
We are doing very, very well. And how are you now that the first episode is out there?
Oh, my God. I feel like I've given birth. I mean, I'm glad that the first episode is out. You know, we had our premiere on September 12th, and it was just phenomenal. We had close to 400 people at the Writers Guild in Beverly Hills to watch all four episodes. And, yeah, there's just a lot of buzz around it right now. I've got some networks interested, and I'm taking some meetings, and I don't know. I'm just trying to enjoy everything that's happening with it right now.
I'm really glad that you've got network interest and that you're taking meetings, because the show is really, like I've said before, just from the trailer, it reminded me of Ally McBeal.
You're so sweet to say that. I really appreciate that. You know, I initially had created it as a web series, and then somehow the trailer got to an Emmy Award-winning director, David Eagle, from Little Eagle Productions, and he contacted me out of the blue, and he said, you know what, this is not web series, this is TV quality, and I love the show, and I love what you're doing, and I'd like to help you, you know, get it to the networks. So that just came from just sending it out, the trailer, to everyone I know and telling them to send it out to everyone they know. You know, it's that whole 6 degrees of separation. You never know who knows who, you know.
Well, for the people that are listening, that are part of our audience that haven't seen Dating in the Middle Ages, can you explain to them what it is and what it's about?
Yeah, Dating in the Middle Ages is kind of a hybrid of Sex in the City meets Glee. It's about a historical romance writer, Samantha Collins, who left a marriage of 15 years, and she's back out on the dating market. And, you know, when she got married, there was no online dating, no speed dating. You know, maybe there were matchmakers, but they weren't as out in the open as they are now. So she is experiencing all of this stuff. And she's kind of technically challenged a little bit anyway, but she's experiencing all of this stuff now for the first time and trying to navigate these muddy waters of dating, looking for her modern-day Cary Grant. And since she's a historical romance writer, she kind of goes into these daydreams in a medieval-type setting. So there's medieval fantasies that she gets involved with, where there's a courting disaster that happens during the medieval teaser, and that kind of is the theme for the modern day episode. And then, of course, there's singing and dancing. There's a production number in every other episode right now.
I miss there not. I was kind of disappointed there wasn't one in the first episode, but I was satisfied with the trailer.
Coming on.
You know what, honey? It is so hard in 4.5 minutes. You know, I lend my writing lends itself to 22 minutes, which is great. It lends itself to TV because, you know, I need 2 production numbers in every episode to feel really good. And there's just no way, because the production number itself is, you know, a minute and a half. And since most webisodes, I don't know, the average is what, 4.5 to 5 minutes, you know, sometimes even shorter.
4.5 to 6 now. Maybe they're getting a little bit longer for dramas at this point. They're getting up to 8 minutes now for drama.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. But I would love to do 8 minutes, and I'm confident I could keep viewers engaged for that and more because of all the quirky comedy and mishaps that Sam goes through, and then of course the fantasies and the big production dance numbers. But you know, it's difficult to shove all of that. I'm sorry.
The dance number in the trailer is hilarious.
Oh yeah, we have a Lady Gaga-esque number, which is all original music and all original lyrics, and that I wrote, and I hired on a couple composers who are just fabulous, and we call it our Lady Grant number. And then in the second episode is oh boy, it's funny as heck because it's where she fantasizes about Dr. Pooh, we call him, sitting across from her. And that really gets scary. What happens there?
And the bullshit in the first episode, right?
Yeah, the first two episodes, each episode is a two-parter. There's just no other way to do it, you know,
right.
With the dancing and the medieval stuff. There's just no way to cram it all into 4.5-5 minutes. It's just not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. No, I understand that.
And also, you know, there's voiceovers, you know, a la Sex and the City. You know, Sam
right.
is kind of talking to herself during the date.
I think it's hilarious called it Sex and the City meets Glee, and we've been referring to it as Ally McBeal meets Lady Gaga, so that's hilarious.
That is. Well, you know, the thing about Ally McBeal is she went into her head, you know, quite a bit as the series progressed. And you know, everybody knows about the dancing baby, right? That put the dancing
right.
baby on. And that was all a fantasy in her mind. So I'm glad to hear you say that. I've been compared, the show's been compared to Ally McBeal before, and that's really nice. David Eagle is somebody who is married to Michelle Pfeiffer, who people tell me I look like.
There you go.
So, I just love all of that. I love him.
And you've got Jeff Schneider.
I have Johnny Schneider as my love interest. I love him. And, you know, have you heard the word about John? Have you heard the word about John? John is moving into, wait for it, Wisteria Lane on Desperate Housewives. So we are all
he is
excited
for your Cary Grant-esque guy. He's that guy.
I know. He's fab. He's just yummy and fab and... You know, I just can't wait to work with him again. And he's such a busy guy. The great thing about John is, man, he works. You know, he keeps busy. He's done a web series before. So when he came on, he was really open to the idea because he's
yeah,
very pro web series.
We saw something he had done at ITV Fest.
Yeah, that's 26 Miles.
26 Miles.
He executive produced that and starred in that. That's his pilot that he's trying to sell as well. But there's, I think there's 6 episodes. Don't quote me on that. I'm not really sure. But I know he's got a few episodes on that as well. And the thing about John, you know, what is so important for Samantha's love interest is they need to sing. And John sings. You know, he's a big country
yes,
western
does.
Singer. So. Yeah.
And
so
how many
we
episodes
really,
are going to be?
Well, I have 4 right now that are finished, and I have mm-hmm. scripts for 6. But, you know, I've been told to hold off doing the other 6 right now because there's such a buzz around it, and who knows. And,
right.
you know, with hopefully getting sponsors and that type of thing, which I'm not at all against writing sponsors into episodes so long as it works and it's not out of left field. Like Samantha,
right.
she's addicted to chocolate. I'm sorry?
No, I'm just laughing at the chocolate thing. But I can understand why you would want to hold off possibly on writing the next 6 or starting to film the next 6 if there could be an infusion of cash from a sponsor or a brand.
Exactly. And I've written the 6. And I was told, you know, but it's easy to change it up. You know, that's where the creativity comes in.
Right.
And, you know, I also have a cast of supporting characters, which we haven't met yet. And because there's not a lot you can do in 4.5 minutes, so they're all going to be introduced in future episodes. So, but, you know, I'm just like sitting, you know, waiting. I have, you know, people saying, no, don't do anything yet. Let's see what we can do with this because it's TV quality and, you know, let's go after sponsors and blah, 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 you know. And there is just so many ways the show can go that it gets a little crazy. You know, you can go for the
yeah,
viewership.
The do who just wants to get it written and get it filmed and get it out there for people
right.
to see.
Absolutely. But I really don't want to go in my pocket anymore if I don't have to.
At this point, you're out of pocket for 4 episodes, right?
I am. And the whole thing in doing this is when I first started talking about this and I first started interviewing crews, you know, I said the whole thing is, I'm not going to do it if it's not going to be TV quality, because I feel that we have a responsibility to this new industry to make it as best as we possibly can. I really feel that it's going to be the future of TV. And so I believe that the quality of web shows on should be at least that, if not better, than what's on TV right now. And I have a little bit of a problem with so much content being created and just flooding the market that I feel is underproduced, you know. And I know people love to tell stories and they want
to. There is a ton of underproduced, lackluster quality stuff out there. In as much as there is some outstanding stuff out there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I am confident that the good stuff will hopefully prevail over the bad, but in the meantime, you know, we have to be really careful because this whole industry is still in the beginning stages, and people are looking, everyone's looking, you know, at this to see where it's going to go and if they're going to take it serious or not. You know, it's kind of like when TV first started out, you know, people didn't know what to do with it, but they just knew it was going to be really big, and that's kind of where the web is right now. People don't really understand, but they just know it's going to be something really great. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's hard. It's hard doing everything on your own.
Oh, yeah. And then you're creating something that hasn't really been seen when we talk about Glee. I mean, that's new for television. It's something we haven't seen that type of programming in a very long time. We start talking about comparing your show to Ally McBeal. That's the type of show that we haven't seen on television or anywhere in a very long time. Does it feel like you're taking a risk? Because it seems like in some ways with your content, you're taking a bit of a risk. Did it feel that way to you?
Well, you know, the industry people I've talked to have said, I haven't seen anything like this ever, and we believe that's a real plus for you. It's new and it's fresh. You know, it might be an old, you know, like Looking for Mr. Right. It might be an old thing, but it's a new take. And it's refreshing mm-hmm. to see a new take on an old story, you know, basically. So, you know, I don't, that said, you know, there are a lot of guys that really love this show. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the toilet humor that I love. Yeah, I love toilet humor. I feel like if it's not broke, don't fix it. And that stuff is like time tested. But it's interesting because when
very funny when done right.
Yes, totally. If it's not gratuitous. And, you know, if she's dating a proctologist, it's only natural that he would discuss stuff like that for dinner. But, you know, originally I thought my audience was going to be a little bit older, which is fine, you know, because the baby boomer women are the largest consumer buying audience out there, right? And they are watching, they're watching the internet more and more.
They are. And isn't it funny how advertisers seem to have forgotten that?
It's amazing. It really is amazing to me. But here's the thing. I have, like, 20-year-old girls coming up to me saying, when are you going to do more? I cannot wait to see it. I have guys coming up to me, all ages, saying, that's some of the funniest stuff I've seen in a long time. I want more. So what I originally thought was a smaller demographic has now really broadened back to the sponsors, you know. So, but it is a shame that, you know, the baby boomer women on the internet aren't given the props, you know, that they deserve.
You know, I think it's because advertisers don't believe, wrongly so, they don't believe that baby boomer women are online.
Which is crazy because, okay, maybe the mommy bloggers are a little bit younger, but some of them aren't. There's a lot of empty nesters that are blogging like crazy, and they have huge followings, you know. And as a matter of fact, my PR person, Stacey Haas with Positive PR, she's really fabulous, and she is getting the show out to, like, the top bloggers, the top tastemakers, which I thought was kind of out of the box and really fun way to get the word out and stuff like that. And, you know, just recently...
No, go ahead.
Just recently, I have been doing some research on the romance book market, right, which is like a multi-billion dollar market. And, you know, most of these readers of romance novels are, you know, women, you know, 30 to 50, maybe 30 to 60, maybe older. I don't know. I don't really know what the demographic is. But that's my audience. So I'm trying to think of ways out of the box also to get them, you know, whether it's going to RomCon, you know, some of the romance conferences.
Right.
I think that we really have to think out of the box for our shows, and not just take a traditional way of getting, trying to get sponsors, you know, or trying to get audiences. We have to, you know, think in terms of who will watch this and then innovative ways of going out and getting them, which can be really tough, you know. It's not easy.
And it can be daunting, and advertising executives and traditional television network executives aren't really, you know, known for their ability to change or their, you know, great passion about change. It's just not something that you say, boy, advertising guys change with the times so much. They don't. So it's
right.
Left up to you, leaders and the people that those of us who are creating in the space are working with to go out of the box and find our audience any way we can.
Right. It's true. It's really true. And, you know, we're all still trying to find our way on that. So there's, like, all the ways that this show can go, and I'm trying not to get caught up in the result, if you know what I mean. I'm trying to enjoy the process as much as I possibly can.
You have in the can, was it fun for you?
Oh, my God, it was so much fun. Well, I had a great team, you know, and I interviewed different directors for this show, but I got to tell you, you know, and I interviewed Emmy award-winning directors that were saying, please let me do it, you know. But I just, you know, Chris Eckstein, the guy that I finally chose to direct the episodes, is mostly a DP, a wonderful DP, but he's been directing recently, but his persona and his personality and just the way he thinks lent itself to Dating in the Middle Ages so well that I took a big risk, and, you know, with him. And I think it paid off. But it's kind of daunting for a DP to also direct these type of webisodes when there's big production dance numbers and all this kind of other stuff. So in the future, I'm really hoping to, since it is kind of challenging and demanding, I'm hoping to have guest directors come in and direct, you know.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Just like TV, it would be wonderful.
That's a really, really good idea. What
kind of musical training
do you have?
What kind of what?
Musical training do you have? Have you done music?
Oh, I've been singing and dancing since I was 3, and I've done national tours, and I have a lot of friends who are Broadway babies that have actually worked, you know, and stuff on Broadway. And, you know, the great thing about creating the web series and the things like this is you get to work with people that you've been wanting to work with forever. You have that kind of control. So I was able to hire, and everyone in my shoot got paid. You know, not a lot, but they all got paid, and I'm really proud of that. And it was a SAG New Media show, and they were just great. SAG was just really great and did all they could to help on this. And we tapped Hartley to a couple of people. So I felt really good about all of that. You know, it was just, let me tell you this, it was just such a positive how it all came together, like it was totally meant to be?
I think it was meant to be.
So
there's a ton of buzz around the show. And
yeah, I know. I'm really excited about that. And I hope it continues. And, you know, I'm just going to do what I can to get it out to everybody that I possibly can, the trailer, and, you know, just see what happens. I've been told that I might not be able to launch the whole series. I mean, we'll see. Time will tell, right?
Right. And are you putting up a new episode tomorrow?
Tomorrow is... I'm putting up a... The ideal is to put up an episode every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I have some fun little extras in between. Like, we interview the dates, which is hysterical. And they tell their view why Samantha didn't choose them. It's really funny. So I have stuff like that. And I also have a full-length music video, too, the Lady Grant number. So I'm hoping to put that stuff up in between episodes as well. And Sam's blogging. Sam's blogging now on the website and in the character. And she has a Twitter handle, too. She's Dating Duds is her handle on Twitter. And she's blogging on the website. And also there's a Sam Stuff. There's a Sam Stuff thing on the navigation bar. And if you click on that, you see the coffee mugs, the T-shirts, and the visors that are for sale. So she's already got her little merchandise stuff going on.
The website is very impressive, too. It's very well done. It's very clean and fun to navigate and spend time on.
Thank you. My Eric Immelt is my graphic designer, and he is just so fabulous. His design, you know, he came up with a lot of those ideas, and he's just one really, really talented guy. So, you know, we also have a contribution page. At my premiere, I teamed up with a charity, United Pegasus Foundation. And what's really great about United Pegasus Foundation is they go in and rescue horses. They rescue these PMU mares that are Premarin mares. And I wanted a charity that deals with women's issues.
Right.
And the PMU mares are used to make the drug Premarin. You know, their urine is used to make this drug that women take who go through menopause, and it's synthetic to help hot flashes and night sweats and blah, 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 the symptoms. But the way that the drug is made is very inhumane. The way that they strap the horses to machines and the horses are unable to move, and they do that from the horses from the age of 2 to 14, and then when they're done, and they keep the horses pregnant, because the horse has to be pregnant in order to get the really high estrogen levels in their urine. I mean, it's sick. It's crazy. It's like this dirty little secret that nobody knows about. Because when they're finished with the horses, they send them to slaughter, you know, because you can't adopt them because they haven't really been around people as pets in that way for years and years. And then their foals are also a byproduct of all this because they're constantly kept pregnant. So the foals, a lot of them are slaughtered as well. It's a real sad situation. But I've been a horse lover all my life. I've had horses when I was a kid. And I just wanted something that, a way to educate the public. So we teamed up with United Pegasus, and they were at the premiere. And I raised $500 for her. I wish it could have been more. And she's on my website as well.
I like on the website, I like Cary Grant's picture and all the little daisies.
Did you notice that? I'm so glad you noticed that.
That's so cute.
I was like, how can we put him on the website? We need to do something.
So why
and
Cary
so
Grant?
That,
did you
yeah,
decide
that came on out of it. Yeah, so
why
just
Cary
plugging
Grant?
Along. Why Cary Grant?
Yeah, why Cary Grant?
I think he epitomizes, you know, the dapper gentleman, chivalry, and, you know, all the things that you know, he's also slick and he's funny, you know, and I think he would have made a wonderful 007, don't you?
Oh, he would have. Oh, he would have.
So, I mean, what better guy to associate Sam with, who she's looking for?
And she hopefully will find him.
Yep. Hopefully.
But don't hold up on waiting for the rest to get the other six episodes done for too long.
You know, I don't want to, but at the same time, it's like these were done really high quality, and that ain't cheap. You know?
Nope.
But
nope. All the creators who have been on the show are in the chat room right now would agree with you that it ain't cheap,
yeah.
And it's not cheap.
Yeah, so I'm just, you know, we'll see what happens. It's really too soon. You know, for me, it's too soon for anything. I mean, it's all just came down. It all was just released online. I mean, I'm learning about everything as I go, so I'm, like, running to catch up with a lot of people. Like, I think your previous guest, I didn't get to hear only the last part, but she's already going into her season two, you know, how wonderful,
exactly.
You know.
And are writing season three right now.
It's terrific. I mean, we should all be so lucky, you know, to do stuff like that. And, you know, hopefully if a network, I mean, this show really lends itself to Lifetime or CBS. It really does. That's the demographic. And that's kind of where I'm.
By your CBS demographic. It definitely resembles a CBS comedy and has the demographic that CBS captures with their comedy.
Well, I always say it's the perfect complement to Two and a Half Men. Like, they're showing an hour of Two and a Half Men right now. They can show one half-hour episode and put Dating in the Middle Ages on right afterwards.
Well, they could, as far as I'm concerned, replace Two and a Half Men with Dating in the Middle Ages, and I'd be happy.
Yeah, you know what? That show has such a loyal fan base and a loyal following. I mean, it's been on forever and ever and ever, and people just love it. You know,
get it.
And, you know, you can't please anyone, Destiny. It goes back to you have to really write what you know and what you feel, and you can't, you know, certain people are going to hate my show. They're just going to hate it, you know. And others are going to love it. They're just going to love it. And, oh, well, great. Thank God. Thank God we're all different, you know.
You have to have that attitude. You know, you have to just say, well, not everybody's going to like it.
Well, thank God we don't all like the same thing. How boring is that, you know? And that's so wonderful. While there's so many web shows and web creators out there of all different types for all different audiences. You know, it's very exciting. It's just very exciting. What I do not want to see more of, though, is two guys or gals or whatever just picking up a camcorder and doing stuff, you know, around the house. I mean, I can't take it anymore. I can't.
If I wanted to watch that, I could watch myself.
I'd do it myself.
Exactly.
Well, you know, that's the thing is our time is really valuable, isn't it? All of us. And
it is.
You're going to sit down and
somebody recommends, and it's just somebody talking to their camera.
Right. Although some people have done really well by that, but.
Well, true. But I mean, it's like we're developing this show as a web series and taking it to video. But it's a hosted show, and there'll be clips, and there'll be other things. It's not just going to be, you know.
Us in the kitchen.
The two of us in the kitchen walking around mopping the
floor.
It's really boring.
Well, you know, I hope, you know, there are shows out there, you know, that are done really well, and, you know, hopefully my show will fall in that category, and I hope we're raising the bar for people, you know, and challenging them to say, look, if you have to underproduce something, just hold off a little bit, you know, if it's really terrific and people are really interested, you'll get the money somehow, it'll come to you somehow, it'll happen, you know, but I think so many people are so eager to tell their stories, and naturally so, that things get put out and done before they're really ready. This is what I'm seeing quite a bit, and it's my biggest fear in this industry is that too much of that stuff will clog the internet freeway, if you will, and then the really good stuff isn't taken
too, Devin, is that you get too much of that stuff and not enough of the really good cream of the crop stuff, and advertisers, then you're spending all of your time explaining to advertisers and sponsors that that's not what you do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just me, you know, in my living room with a piano playing cat. It's actually scripted content, and it's very, very good. And we spent all this time doing it. And we have a couple of creators that have been on our show who have basically said, take your time in pre-production. Take your time.
Oh, I would agree with that. And even just my script, even just the first two episodes, probably, you know, writing is rewriting. And I went through at least 12 drafts, at least. And I was still perfecting it, and I'm sure their web content, you know, creators can agree with this. I was still perfecting up until the day on the set. I mean, my actors weren't real thrilled with me, but I was tweaking and tweaking and tweaking and constantly tweaking. And it's like any artist, I don't think you're ever really done. You know, it's like I can look at things now and say, oh, I want to do that and tweak that and fix that. You know what I mean? So,
well, you've got a lot of creators in the chat room right now agreeing with you. And Mark Gardner probably said the best thing. And he said he wishes that people would quit shooting first drafts.
Oh, my God. I agree with him so much. I mean, and we have to be willing. Look, I've been writing for 20 years, okay? And I used to write for magazines, and, you know, I used to interview celebrities, and then I started writing fantasy and children's books and screenplays and yada, 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 everything. And the biggest thing, I had a wonderful, wonderful writing teacher once that said to me, in writing, you have to be willing, you have to be patient, you have to be willing to put it in the drawer for a week or two so that you can come back to it with fresh eyes. And I thought that was the best. When I was first starting out, she told me that, you know. And I thought that was the best advice ever, because you can't see the forest for the trees when you're right in it, you know. So I was able to write all four episodes, and I put them away for a little while, you know, for a few weeks. And then when I came back, it was amazing. It was really looking at stuff with fresh eyes. I mean, the musical numbers took on a whole fresh thing as well, you know, just tweaking. So I'm a big proponent that, you know, don't be impatient here. You know, you are creating art, and art takes time. You know, it takes time.
And people are, there are some interesting comments happening in the chat room. People are saying it should be a rule that you shouldn't, you know, shoot crap. And Joe Wilson, I love Joe Wilson for Vampire Mom. He said, you know, I was cutting lines in post.
Sure.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the problem with a lot of the content, with quite a bit of content out there, is that people rushed to get in it because it seems like everybody wants to rush and be part of the web now, but you're not necessarily always bringing quality to the web.
You can't do it. And here's something I did, too. That I did something really interesting in post, and I don't know, maybe some other people in the chat room have done this, too, but in the post, I walked away. I wasn't in the first. I let my editor, who was a hired gun and who's just fabulous, I let him do the first cut because, again, I trusted his sense of humor, which was just is wonderful. His name is Merk Boyan, and I just – and so that when I came back to see the first cut through, you know, and I gave notes, I was so impressed. Not only with him, but with myself for being able to walk away from it. And I think
we
have to be willing to do that, because otherwise a lot of crap is left in because, oh, no, I really like that line. You know, forget that it really serves the piece or not, but I wrote that and I angst over that, blah, 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 so that's staying in. And you know what? That's not always the best thing for a piece.
No, and did you show your script to anyone else? Did you have like a script supervisor, but somebody who could be another set of eyes to look at the stuff that you wrote, or did you just put it away in a drawer and come back to it yourself?
You know, Chris, my director, and I, our sense of humor is a lot alike. So only a couple of times. Most of the time, I just put it in the drawer. That was the big thing for me. Just walk away. Put it down. Damn it. Just walk away from it. But he looked at a couple of things and gave me a little bit of input. But no, you know, writing is a solitary practice. It really is, and it's kind of a shame because, you know, we all want to be so proprietary, and we all want to like, oh, you're not going to look at my script, you might steal. No, that's not going to happen because in the first place, you couldn't write it. I couldn't write the cell the way, you know, they write it or misbehave or, do you know what I'm saying? I couldn't do that. It's ridiculous to even try. So I think there should be a point where, I'm saying it right here, right now, all web creators, or at least some of us in the LA area, should get together and help each other out on our scripts, darn it.
You know what? That's not a bad idea, and I bet Bernie Sue from Compulsions would be the first one to agree that, you know, looking over each other's scripts, my big thing even here on this show is that I think everybody, especially that do people who do dramas, need to have a script consultant, a story consultant, or a script supervisor on their show whose job it is to read that script and be able to say to the writer rather bluntly what works and what doesn't from a third-party perspective.
Oh, honey, I learned my lesson by not I did not have a script supervisor on my show. And thank God I had pros and veterans. We're all veteran. All my leads are like 15, 20-year actors, all of us. And you know, we had to take care of each other, even John and I, everyone. You know, it was like, was I looking this way in the thing before? Was that earring on or off? You know what I mean? We really had to take care of each other. And let me tell you something. I will never, ever go without a script supervisor again on set, ever. You know, I just think that is somebody who is that position is so needed, and if you get a good person to do that, it's invaluable. But also what I was going to tell you is, you know, I have a lot of actor friends that come over and that help me out by reading my words out loud, and I found that to just be, oh my gosh, you know, I think it's if you can get your writer friends together to read your work out loud, you know, during the process, it's such a benefit because you can hear what jokes land, you can hear what stuff works, you can hear what doesn't work, what moves you emotionally, what doesn't. And I just,
I know a lot
that's
of creators
something
talk
that I,
about the value of table reads, too, so that kind of goes with what you're saying.
Absolutely. You know, when I first wrote the pilot, which the pilot is like 23, 24 minutes, and there's three production numbers in that, which I haven't shot yet. I'm kind of saving that for the networks. But I had a whole slew of friends come over, and I bought Chinese food, and they all read it and sang, you know, all my Broadway friends. And, I mean, I just found it invaluable, you know, so that I knew I had a place to start. I knew what worked and what didn't, and that really helped me with Samantha and Dating in the Middle Ages. And I really recommend that.
I think that's something that people need to think about, and I think it was valuable for you to say, you know, just give it up, just put it down and walk away.
Yeah, well, too many people are too quick because, you know, like you said, they want to get it out there. They believe in their project, which is fabulous. You have to believe in what you're doing. But sometimes not everything you're doing is worth filming, and that's hard. It's hard for a writer to hear and a web creator to hear.
Not everything you're filming is worth, not everything you're writing is worth filming. That is something that's very valuable for people to hear.
It's true.
You know?
It's true, though. I mean, I've dabbled and done stuff and, you know, I'm glad I shelved it. You know what I mean? You know, maybe one of these years it'll get taken back out and dusted off, but there are some things that should be your writing graveyard, I think, where you can just take a risk and take a chance and, you know, kind of vomit on the page, so to speak. But you don't need to shoot that. You know, you don't need to film everything. And you should get opinions. What I did is before I even sat down with Samantha and let her talk to me, because my characters really talk to me or I'm not going to write it. If they're not going to speak and they have nothing to say, then to me, if the characters don't have anything to say to me, then they're not worth writing about. That's
right.
Just how it works for me. But when I first had the idea about dating in the Middle Ages, I had lunch with a couple of people that I worked with before in the industry. And, just kind of pitched the idea to them because I wanted to know. This is a story. This is a series that I'm going to spend the next several years of my life with,
Right.
I think it's really good, but is it really? Is it something that I really want to spend the next few years of my life with? And I think we need to ask ourselves that before we sit down. And then hopefully when we sit down, they start yapping in our ear and we're able to write. So it all works out,
And you need to have good friends and good editors and good directors who will tell you that there are points, and I've written stuff, Shad, you've written stuff, we've all, mm-hmm. where somebody needs to tell you that's not as brilliant as you think it is.
That's right.
That's not compute.
Here's the saying that I love. Your ego is not your amigo. And,
exactly.
It's like you have to get your ego out of the way as an artist, because I don't care if you're throwing pots or writing or acting or whatever it is you're doing. If it's all about your ego, you don't have an amigo there. You know what I mean? It's not a good thing. So you have to be willing, just like you said, you have to be willing to listen to people and people that you trust, right? Not just anybody. The people that you trust in the business and that, they're going to tell it to you straight and they're not just going to say, oh, honey, whatever you write is great by me, like your mom.
Well, and you don't want to get to a point, like you say, not just anybody, not just any viewer, not just any, you want people that you trust to tell you the truth so that once your show is filmed and finished and out there, you don't have the viewers and the fans telling you, hey, this isn't as brilliant as you thought it was.
Oh my God. That's just horrendous. But this industry, we're so lucky because there are so many talented people in it. And the future is bright. The web series future is very bright right now. And mm-hmm. So many people have such good work out there. And the good news is there's room for a lot more. But we just have to be careful about the crap. It's all about quality, not quantity. And that's my mantra. And that has to be what we're all about is quality, not quantity. Otherwise, we all end up with egg on our faces,
Absolutely. This was a delightful interview, Devin. I hope you'll come back.
Oh, thank you. I had fun, of course. I'd love to.
Well, hopefully when you come back, you'll come back telling us you've been picked up by CBS and you're going to be replacing 2.5 Men in the lineup.
From your lips to God's ears.
Absolutely. So now before you go, for anybody who hasn't seen the first episode of Dating in the Middle Ages and they're looking for a comedy to watch, what would you tell them to get them to watch Dating in the Middle Ages?
Well, I would tell them to go to www.datinginthemiddleages.com. I know it's a long word, but it's all one word, datinginthemiddleages.com. And you can view the trailer and the first episode on the watch page. But run around on the website. There's a lot of fun stuff, comments, because we learn from everybody's comments as well. And, just have fun on the website and tell everyone to visit it. And have fun.
Perfect. Devin, thank you very much for coming on. We can't wait until next week when episode 2 is up.
Thank you so much for having me. You're a joy. I really, really enjoyed this.
Anytime. Any topic that we ever have on the show that you want to chime in on, please feel free to call in.
Aw, you're awesome. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening, okay?
Thank you, Devin.
All right, honey. Bye-bye.
She's fun. and smart.
As a wit.
Yep. Is the way it should be. And had that, be careful about the crap.
Yeah.
I like her quote, and she's right. She's right. You know what I mean? I mean, I love the fact that she said, put it down, damn it. Walk away. Walk. There's a lot of web series right now. I could name you at least five right now that could have benefited from taking the script and putting it in a drawer for a couple of weeks and then coming back with fresh eyes and a story consultant. Yeah?
Yeah.
At least five.
Definitely.
At least five, if mm-hmm. not more. And I'm just talking drama. But, you know, that's something that Joe Wilson has talked about is the glut of crap in web series.
It's like the trenches. It's just the mud pit of
there's
where.
So much out there now. If you do a search on YouTube for web series, you will be shocked. Shocked, I tell you. At the amount of unwatchable dreck that comes up. In the midst with some stuff that's pretty good.
Seriously, there are some things out there that I could strap a camera to the dogs and the cats, and it would be more entertaining than half the stuff that I've seen just by searching certain keywords of web series.
Mm-hmm.
More dramatic, more fun.
And the comedies aren't any more to blame than the dramas, honestly, because I've seen some dramas that were just horrid.
Yeah.
If you sound like you are talking in a drainage
tin can
tube
or the sewers, that's my favorite.
If you are in a drainage tunnel and it sounds like it, fix your sound before you upload to YouTube or anywhere else. Honestly, please. If you are using entirely boom mics,
if you're using a boom mic, learn how to soften your environment so that you don't get echoes. Learn what you need to do to soundproof, considering you're going to be working in a big space with a lot of corners.
If you are shooting outside, diffused sunlight. Those should be two words that you should know like your own name.
And dub it if you have to, especially shooting outside. I don't want to hear 20 conversations around you in a restaurant and not be able to hear your dialogue. You can have background noise. You can still have that. Just bring it down a few notches and then have your actors redub the scene.
Brendan's right. There should be a YouTube filter. Web series should mean web series. Honest to God, people. And I have watched my fair share of piano playing cats and farting dogs. And sometimes it's funny. But I don't want to watch it as a series. And Tom Conkle said something a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And Mark said, if you're shooting in a concrete box, shoot yourself. What Tom Conkle said was, there's a lot of crap out there. We need to be honest about that. There is a lot of crap out there. And while some video bloggers are interesting, I'm really, when I go looking for a web series, am not interested in watching someone with a webcam pointed at themselves talking about entertainment news.
No, I can watch that just by, I can watch the premiere.
I say this
as
we get
TV.
Prepared to set up a camera and talk about web series, but it's different. A hosted show is different.
Yeah, it's different.
I'm not talking about sketch comedy. I'm not talking about Shane Dawson. I'm talking about, my God, there are so many on YouTube who think they're doing a series. And that's not a series.
It's a long-running advertisement. Those are my other favorites. The ones that says, like, I'm going to sponsor my neighborhood restaurant by telling you everything they have on the menu and every single video once a week, twice every day.
And I think it takes away from the really good content that's on there. There is good content on YouTube.
Yes.
Whether I'm the demographic for it or not.
There's plenty of content on YouTube.
Ooh, and you should web to watch. Ooh, we should set up cameras and do a conference about it.
That would be fun. We can do like a Brady Bunch wall.
We totally should.
Here's the story.
And now we're down to 90 seconds. Next week.
We did have a little bit of video today. But
of
cricket. In the chat.
Of cricket work.
Get that.
Next week on Indie Inner Tube, the show is called Craig and Brett Do the Tube. Our guests next week are Brett Register and Craig Frank. and they're going to talk to us and give us a lowdown on the New York Television Film Festival and all of the stuff that's going on in the L.A. bubble. They are well within the L.A. bubble. And who knows, maybe we can get Chris McCaleb to call in, too. And then it can be, I don't know what, but it's going to be Craig and Brett to do the tube. And we're going to grill those guys, and maybe we can even get Craig to scream like a girl, you think?
Maybe.
Maybe.
If we ask nicely. Or just get Brett to, I don't know, pinch him.
And then, of course, we're going to be gearing up for our interviews with Liz Keeper and Jerry Verdorn to promote Daytime Stars and Strikes, which is coming up in New York on October, the weekend of October 10th and 11th. And we will be in New York from the 7th to the 12th. So any of you web series people, please, we are going to have the inner tube meet us. So until next week, go out and watch something online. Watch a web series and then tell us about it. Bring us something new that we haven't seen. And we'll talk to you next week.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.